Good morning. Thank you for coming. Today we're going to talk a little bit about what initially started out as a small study, and it's kind of taken a life of its own, so we thought we'd talk a little bit about our results today. Now, I know most of you are probably familiar with lime requirements, one of those basic soil testing, soil science concepts that we get in a very introductory soils class, but just to kind of bring everybody up to speed. When we talk about lime requirement, we're talking about the amount of lime needed to raise a low pH soil up to something that's more acceptable. And we know that optimum soil management requires that the soil pH be adjusted to something that we would consider an acceptable level. Now, we've all seen this figure or a reasonable facsimile. It's one of those basic things that we see in our introductory soil science class, but this really brings home the point of that optimum pH and its importance in soil, soil testing. All right, if we get that optimum pH, then we maximize availability of the nutrients that we need, and we minimize some of these toxicities down at the lower, that we would normally see down in the lower pH range. So with that one simple amendment to the soil, we can have a lot of control over things that are going on in nutrient availability and toxicity reduction and things like that. So it sounds like a simple thing, but in reality, it's got a lot of impact on what we do. So let's bring that now from just the lime requirement and the idea to soil testing. It sounds like an easy thing, but it's not. There's a lot of science that goes back into that and making that recommendation, and in order to be done in a soil testing lab with the speed and the reliability, there's some pretty serious thought that has to go into it. All right, soil test labs must estimate lime requirement nuclei, both the active and the exchangeable acidity. So we're not just neutralizing the hydrogens in solution, but we're going after those, and in addition, the hydrogens and the aluminums on the exchange sites. If we don't get both of those, if we just go after the active acidity, then we're really not going to change our overall soil acidity, our soil pH very much. We've got to knock both of those things down. All right, so in order to estimate that, we can do a couple of different things. One of them is titrate with a base. Anybody that has ever taken a freshman chemistry lab has gone through titration. It's time-consuming, it's labor-intensive, it's frustrating. All right, how many of you ever did it with the phenolphthalein and you missed that endpoint? One more drop and it went bright pink. So you know what's going on there. And trying to do that in a soil testing lab where you're looking at a very fast turnaround, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. All right, so it's much more common to use some kind of a buffered solution. All right, so now let's bring that back to Mississippi. First of all, for us in Mississippi, lime's very expensive. We don't mine our own lime. We have to import it. So it comes in on rail or comes in on barge or it comes in a truck. Any way you look at it, we're paying for fuel and transportation costs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So especially in the past 5 years or so, you know, our transportation costs have gone through the roof, so it's becoming a very expensive amendment. And that cost can impede the application. Our producers are looking at all the other costs that they have to deal with, and lime is becoming kind of the poor stepchild, if you want to think about it that way. All right, now, that can be a problem because, as I showed a minute ago, that low pH is a first indicator of production problems. As your pH starts to decline in the soil, your production is going to die off slowly, and no matter what you do, if you don't fix that pH, you're going to have issues. So we need to find a best method for determining the lime requirement. Now, two things on that best method. One, it needs to be accurate. You don't want to overestimate or underestimate. You need it to be right on. All right, you underestimate, you lose pH, you overestimate, you're spending too much for lime. Right? And the other thing, you can't have this add to the cost of the soil testing, and that's kind of where we're coming in from in Mississippi. Right now we're using a Woodruff buffer, and that uses a lot of p-nitrophenol, which is an EPA regulated chemical. All right, so our soil testing costs aren't going up, but our disposal costs for this stuff are getting higher and higher and higher. University's considered a hazardous waste producer, so we've got to go through all the leaps and bounds to get that stuff gone. So we're looking for two things in this test. We're looking for accuracy, and we're looking for, a lack of hazardous material. So we started this study, started out as a fairly simple study. We took 11 soils with a range of pH from around the state. And in this case, our pHs tended to be very low, 4.2 to 5. And that's not unusual in Mississippi. We have acid subsoils. We have land leveling. So those acid subsoils now become surface soils. We've got 8 of the 12 soil orders, a lot of variability in our soils. You know, these kind of pHs aren't all that unusual. Preliminary lime requirement was found. We said we asked for a target of 6.8, and we used essentially three different methods. We sent our samples to the University of Georgia, University of Kentucky, and Auburn, and let them run our samples and give us an initial lime requirement, and then we took the average of those three. All right, we said, okay, incubation study, 30 days. We used a quarter of the lime requirement, half, three-quarters, and the lime requirement using 100% reagent-grade calcium carbonate. Kept those things moist, let them go through a couple wetting, drying cycles. After 30 days, we ran the pH. Now, just to give you an idea of some of the soil variability that we had in here, just quickly I'll point out our pHs. As I mentioned a minute ago, they're all fairly low. We had alpha sols, ulta sols, there's a vertisol. We had a pretty big range in buffering abilities there. Those vertisols are very high in clay. This one was, the alligator. We call that one like a gumbo or a buckshot soil. And this is one of those things where very high smectite, 2-to-1 type clay, a lot of buffering ability all the way down to some of our coastal plain soils, which are essentially very sandy soils. So we had a nice range in those kind of properties. All right, so after the incubation, we took those samples and we sent them off to various laboratories around the Southeast Conference. All right, all of these labs were participants in CIRA IEG6, and so we knew we had a range of methods there. And one of our points in doing this, we were thinking with all of these different methods out there, there really wasn't a large need at this point to go out there and develop our own method. We've got all these methods. Let's see which one of those works. It'd be a much faster adoption for us if we can find one that works well. So we sent it to, of course, our lab. We run a modified Woodruff. We sent it to Auburn. They run a modified Adams and Evans. University of Kentucky runs a Sikora 2 now. University of Georgia uses a single point titration. North Carolina State uses the Malik. University of Florida uses the original Adams and Evans, and then Clemson uses the more Sikora. So we've got a huge range of methods here. It's a good way of going about things as opposed to trying to come up with ours just off the top of our head. All right, so we got the results back. We look at the relationship between the pH and the calcium carbonate added for the soils used in the incubation, and what we're looking for is a nice linear relationship. We found that for all soils and all methods. All right, and then we take the regression equation from this relationship and use that to determine the lime requirement. And in that case, our target pH becomes the Y, and the lime requirement becomes the X. So we would take our target pH, come over, interpolate down. This becomes our lime requirement. All right, now we then take that lime requirement, compare that to the buffer pH, initial buffer pH for the unamended soils. We measured back before we started the incubation. And what we're looking for here is a nice linear relationship between the buffer pH and the lime requirement. Now, the example I showed here is for the best relationship that we had. I wasn't going to put the worst one up, but you're going to see in a minute how bad they really were. All right, so let's go look at that. This is almost scary. All right, our range was from 0.22 up to 0.89. Now, we were kind of happy. All right, the wood roof that we used came in second, but at an R squared of 0.37, that's a pretty poor second. The one that was outstanding was the Sakura 2. That's the one that just gave us the best relationship. Yeah, I can see Frank back smiling in the background there. So that pretty much answered our question as to which one we thought was going to be the best. All right, so said, well, you know, we got to make sure about this before we put it into use. So we talk about the validation. We needed to validate it, and what we wanted to do was estimate the lime requirement of several soils using both Sakura 2 and the Woodruff. We're hanging on to that Woodruff because that's a standard that we've had for so long. We wanted to see how these two related. And then simply redo the incubation study using just the lime requirement developed from both of these methods and compare the resulting soil pH. All right, now on this one we used 12 soils, and this was a random selection. We had no idea or very little idea of where these soils came from or taxonomy or anything like that. We did a little bit of work on like clay content, texture, to make sure we had a range of properties. But we don't know where they came from. Some came from soil testing. Some came from a precision nutrient management study I've got. They were just a bunch. All right, our pH range was 4.1 to 4.9, so we still had that low pH. We used both the Sakura 2 and the lime requirement, did the standard incubation, the reagent grade calcium carbonate for another 30 days, measured the pH. All right, both methods overpredicted the amount of lime to reach 6.8. Statistically, there wasn't any difference between the two methods, but they were both different from 6.8. Now, the Sakura 2 method was still the better method. Average pH on that was 7.1 versus 7.3 for the Woodruff. Now, I'm looking at this thing going, you know, 6.8, 7.1, we're talking about 3/10 of a pH unit. I'm not sure if that's enough to really worry about. I'm beginning to feel very confident about the Sakura 2. Alright, so what we're thinking is probably the Sakura 2 needs a little bit of refinement. That shouldn't be a surprise. We're taking a method developed in Kentucky and trying to apply it to Mississippi soils. So I'm sure that the things aren't going to line up exactly. There's going to be a little bit of refinement and a little bit of tweaking here and there. But at this point, I'm feeling very confident about the Sakura 2. Now, quickly, before I run out of time, I need to acknowledge these folks, Dr. Gobi Haluka, Frank Sakura, Dave Kissel, and Leticia Sonnen from Georgia, David Hardy, Raul, and Kathy Moore from Clemson. These guys have run samples from us and given valuable advice, especially Frank, Dave, and Leticia. So I want to give them credit for the help that they've given us on this. And with that, I'll take questions, or am I out of time?
We've got time for one question.
Oh, time of incubation is 30 days.
So sometimes, like when we apply lime, we see the effect. We don't see that the final effect until like 3 months even. So it might be like 30 days. Do you think it's 30 days is enough based on your soil and condition or not?
So he's asking if maybe the 30 days was too short.
Was 30 days too short?
Maybe it should have been 90.
Could have been, especially on some of the higher clays. Normally, I would have said No, but you know, if you stop and think about those higher clays, the heavy buffering capacity, it might have been too short slightly. Now, we did run an initial study at the beginning to make sure that that was going to be long enough, but with the different soils and the lower background, that could have been, yeah, that could have been an issue.
The other thing, we're out of time. I'm sorry.